KJAN Sports. It's time for a look at sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Iowa football players return to campus to prepare for voluntary workouts. Amid controversy, former players over the past several days alleged systemic racism and other mistreatment in the program. The team's strength coach, Chris Doyle, has been placed on administrative leave, and Coach Kirk Ferentz's leadership was called into question. About two dozen current players took to social media to voice messages of unity, though none of them complained directly about their treatment. Iowa announced that one person tested positive for COVID-19 out of 237 tests that were performed on athletes, coaches, and athletic department staffers to prepare for the beginning of voluntary individual workouts. The school did not reveal who tested positive or whether it was a player. Iowa says the school began testing May 29th. Football players were cleared to begin voluntary workouts on Monday, mostly weight training and conditioning in team facilities. The University of Northern Iowa began welcoming their athletes back to campus Monday with veteran football players. It's part of a staggered process that will have all athletes back by the end of the month. Here's UNI Athletic Director David Harris.
Right now, all workouts are voluntary for student athletes, and the things that we have in place are meant to do everything that we can to keep them safe and healthy, but also allow them to begin to participate, to work out, to do the things that they're normally used to doing during this time period, but doing it in a manner that is as safe as we possibly can.
Harris says the athletes will be monitored daily.
As student athletes are looking to enter the building each day, they will go through a COVID screening and have a temperature check. And so if they're exhibiting symptoms that are identified through the screening, or if they have a temperature that's above 100.4, then they won't be allowed to come into the facility.
Harris believes bringing back sports at different times is the safest approach.
We're always going to keep the health and safety of our student athletes in mind, as well as our staff. We know that when you're in the midst of a pandemic, then the decisions that are made by one individual can impact many. And that's something that we are taking in consideration with every decision that we make.
Panther football coach Mark Farley says about 60% of the team has returned, and with it comes a responsibility.
If we do this right, we allow others to start to work the way back. So this is a big thing for our football team to do right, because there's others that are going to come shortly after us, if we do this right, and give them the same opportunity. So that's what we're looking at. We're excited, there's no question, but we're also cautious in the fact that we want to do it right with the parameters that have been set before us.
Farley says they will take extra precautions to make sure players are separated as much as possible.
We're not going to use our locker room. We're just coming in to use the weight room and leave the weight room. We're not going to bring our guys into meetings or anything like that. What we will do is we'll continue to Zoom. We'll continue to Zoom all the way through July. I don't anticipate it coming off the Zoom meetings.
Farley is more confident that there'll be a complete season with fans, but it's not what the team is focused on.
We don't control that. The only thing that we control is how we prepare for this football season and the time that we put into it. So that's where we put our focus. That's kind of been our approach, is don't come in with the thought that this is the way it's always going to be. Come in with the thought that this is our best plan, and the best plan is going to be able to have to adjust and adapt as we go through it.
Well, the NCAA is considering a six-week plan for football teams to prepare for the start of their seasons. That includes 2 weeks when teams can hold walkthroughs before full practices start. A copy of the Football Oversight Committee's plan, which still needs to be approved by the Division I Council, was obtained by the Associated Press. Sports Illustrated first reported on the one-page document. The Oversight Committee has been working on a six-week model to lead into the season for weeks. It calls for 2 weeks preceding the start of a typical preseason practice schedule, during which time teams can do up to 20 hours per week, or weight training, conditioning, film study, meetings, and walkthroughs with coaches. Players would not be permitted to wear helmets and pads during the walkthroughs, but a ball could be used for instruction. NCAA rules state teams can begin preseason practice 29 days before the start of their first game. The walkthrough period would begin 14 days before preseason practice, according to that proposal. The plan has not been finalized, but could be approved within 2 weeks. The NFL and the Players Union have sent a planner to the 32 teams outlining procedures for the full reopening of their practice facilities. The memo, written by Commissioner Roger Goodell and approved by the NFL Players Association, describes protocols focusing on screening, testing, and infection prevention and treatment for COVID-19, including response for new infections. Also included are instructions on proper facility access, cleaning and disinfecting, physical distancing, hygiene, health education, and medical services. There are instructions on food preparation, supplies, and team travel. No timetable has been set for the return of most players to team complexes. Only players rehabilitating injuries have been allowed to enter the buildings. A Major League Baseball is making another try to start the coronavirus-delayed season in early July. The proposal calls for a 76-game regular season, expanding the playoffs from 10 teams to as many as 16, and allowing players to earn about 75% of their prorated salaries. Players have refused cuts beyond what they agreed to in March, shortly after the pandemic began, part of baseball's again acrimonious labor relations. The arduous negotiations have jeopardized plans to hold opening day around the 4th of July in ballparks without fans and provide entertainment to a public still emerging from months of quarantine. MLB says it can't afford to play in ballparks without fans, and in May, the owners proposed an 82-game schedule. The union countered with a 114-game schedule at prorated pay that would extend the regular season by a month through October. English soccer club Brighton is offering fans the chance to have cardboard cutouts of themselves in the stadium when the Premier League resumes. Games in the league will be closed to spectators for the remainder of the season because of the pandemic. Five of Brighton's nine remaining games are at home. The first is on June 20th against Arsenal. Fans need to send in a photo wearing a Brighton jersey. Oh, yeah, and they have to pay $25 to not show up as well. Brazil has withdrawn its bid to host the 2023 Women's World Cup, arguing it cannot offer FIFA the financial assurances it needs because of the impact of the pandemic. The Brazilian Football Confederation also says it will support Colombia's bid against Japan and the joint candidacy of Australia and New Zealand. South America has never hosted the tournament. A final decision is expected on June 25th. Wisconsin is permitting the voluntary return of football and volleyball players for initial health assessments and COVID-19 testing this week to clear the way for them to begin voluntary strength and conditioning activities June 15th. The men's and women's basketball teams will return later this month, followed by the men's and women's hockey teams. The group that runs the U.S. Open tennis tournament is eliminating 110 national positions and reducing travel costs over the next few years to deal with the financial effects of the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. Tennis Association also announced Monday that it will close its headquarters in White Plains, New York, and shift remaining staff. LaMarcus Aldridge will miss the remainder of San Antonio's season while he recovers from surgery on his right shoulder. That's a blow to the Spurs' hopes of extending their streak of playoff appearances. Aldridge had surgery on April 24th, stemming from an injury the Spurs said the seven-time All-Star suffered in a game at Utah on February 21st. He played in two more games after getting hurt, including one in which he scored 24 points in San Antonio's win over Dallas. The Spurs have been to the playoffs in 22 consecutive seasons, matching the longest streak in NBA history. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission failed to take action on legalizing the betting on esports last week after a legal opinion that the state's gambling law did not allow it. The president of the Iowa Gaming Association, Wes Ericke, says the 19 state-licensed casinos will work to get state lawmakers to change the law.
We want to go back and visit with a lot of those key legislative leaders and legislators who helped support legalizing sports wagering to see if they would include esports as another viable option and that could be wagered on.
The Iowa legislature is back in Des Moines after suspending the session as the coronavirus outbreak took off. He says they will start talks with lawmakers now.
Take the opportunity while they're in session or back to mention what has occurred and at least heighten their awareness and see what might be possible. But planting the seed at the very least for the future opportunity.
Eric, he's not sure lawmakers would have time to take up the issue with all they have going on this year. If not, they would shoot for getting the law changed in the next session.
You know, that would be our, be the goal to try to get this passed and authorized.
The IRGC did approve betting on sports games involving esports, which is allowed in the gambling law, while direct betting on esports is not. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.